For the Lord is good, and truly, thank you everyone for what you shared. Sonia, be healed in Jesus' name. All right, that's taken care of. Thank you, Jesus. Only takes a word. One word from God can change the life. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. Actually, that was already released. Bernie's prayers and the testimonies, the seeking the Lord, the joy of the Lord, the wonderfulness of God. Hallelujah.
When we...
That's right. Next time we see Stephen. Hallelujah. I had the joy of meeting with he and Jenna, and we're just excited for that coming up. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Moms love it when the boys are around. That's right. Isn't there something about James for us, Vicki? Isn't there something about James for us? It could be. This could be the last time we see him single, too. He's just never around. Hallelujah. Just don't come in and genuflect, okay? Thank you, Jesus. Okay. we'd let anything go here almost. Praise the Lord. We had the Steps for Hope on Friday night. And I do believe that it was the nicest balloon release that they've ever had. They went up and they just went to the north. They just drifted and drifted and drifted and disappeared into the clouds. And we had prayed as they were going. I had prayed that it would... Welcome back, Rachel. I had prayed that, we had all prayed together. But one of the prayers was that just that, you know, that cancer would just disappear, because that would be no problem for God. And the next morning I was talking to the Lord about that, and as I was riding my scooter up to Mom's to pump out the water in her basement, and the Lord just said to me, just out of the blue, it was a blue sky, but he just said cancer is going to begin to disappear. And I believe that today he elaborated on that to me, that in our community we're going to see it start to disappear for those who will believe that. So guess what? We can tell people, expect your cancer to disappear. The gentleman who I bought the first motorcycle from, you got to have a motorcycle story. Anyway, he's also the guy that we got the fans and everything from to dry out the basement. And he also is the guy that had a tumor behind his ear. And so he has told me since that time. I said, how are things going? He said, well, it hasn't grown. And I said, it isn't just going to not grow, it's going to shrink. Well, that could be. So I get to preach to him about that. But he also told us, he asked me, he said, is this an insurance claim, or are you guys going to have to take it out of your coffers? I said, the insurance gave us. He said, well, I'm not going to charge you then. I said, no, you're going to charge us. You don't have to worry about that. We want to pay our way. Well, he said, I'll think of something, you know. But it was like he couldn't quite grasp that I wasn't jumping on that. And the opportunity that we have, when an opportunity is presented, to do the right thing. Because I will tell you that when he said, is this an insurance claim or is this not, that I had the enemy saying, you can get this for free. But I said to the enemy, you're stupid. We can't afford to get it for free. We need an opportunity to be a testimony. Testimony of the goodness of God. That same thing allowed me this week to give a testimony to his son. His son, turned out we were over shoveling sand, and his son was working with us. So he told me his name. I said, well, that sounds familiar. He said, well, my dad owns service mail. I said, I know your dad. That's where I bought my first motorcycle. We just had a great relationship with them. You know, but he said, you know, it's time for dad to get it. You know, he's got a tumor. I said, no, we're believing for that to be gone. He looked at me and said, well, you know, it sounded good to a son to have his dad's tumor gone. It sounds good. The Word of God sounds good to people. So I just encourage you to declare to people, expect cancer to disappear. Cancer is not greater than God. There's nothing that's greater than God. There's nothing that does not have to bow. Every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. There's no name above the name of Jesus. So there's nothing that is beyond that name, the name of Jesus spoken to things. Okay, so now that we've done that, let's talk about don't be or do not be. Remember last week we talked about who's leading. The question that we always have to ask ourselves, or we can use as a litmus test, is who's leading? Who's leading my thinking? Who's leading my conversation? Are these words that exalt and lift up God and declare His Word to be greater than anything else? Or are these words that say God might not be so much in control as I want to say? Are these words that say, I believe God? Or are these words that say, well, I usually believe God, but in this instance, remember the Apostle Paul, when he told the guys to cut loose the lifeboats, he said, listen, an angel of the Lord told me this, and I believe God. I believe God. So, who's leading? Who's leading our thoughts? Who's leading our conversations? Are we doing what we know is right with God, or is something else leading us? You can make a comment. Psalm 32. That's what I'm reading out of it. What did I do? Write Psalm 34 on there? On the devotion? Did I? Well, that's silly, isn't it? Thank you. Apparently, we need to go to Psalm 34, though, because there's some other stuff there. Well, because, actually, this is true. 34:1 says, listen to me, you wise men. Pay attention, you who have knowledge. That's in Job. Don't go there. Well, wait a minute. Let's go there. That sounds pretty good, too, doesn't it? Well, because sometimes, you know, I want you to know where to find it. I don't want you to think I'm making it up. I realize, you know, you say, I know you're not smart enough to make up this good of stuff, right? Okay, so, I will praise the Lord at all times. That's Psalm 34:1. I will continually speak His praises. I will boast only in the Lord. Let all who are helpless take heart. Come, let us tell of the Lord's greatness. Let's exalt His name together. Who's leading that kind of words? God. Those are the kind of words that God wants us to speak. Just imagine in the midst of things that are being spoken wrongly, we all of a sudden, wait a minute, let's just praise the Lord at all times. Now that will end almost every conversation. Sometimes with Christians too. I want to talk about something else. I don't want to talk about how good God is. I want to talk about my problems. You don't care about my problems. I do too. That's why I'm trying to get them to go away. If we'll just praise the Lord, where will they go? They go back to hell where they came from. Won't they? They will disappear like a helium balloon into the clouds. They will disappear. They have to. Well, it just isn't that easy. You just haven't worked that hard to get it to be gone. How much effort do you want to put into it? John was here yesterday, put the baseboard on the walls. He didn't quit till he was done. While he was doing that, Vicky was out pulling the weeds. It took some effort. If it's worth having, it's worth making an effort for it. It's worth it to just praise the Lord. That is the answer. If you and I will just praise the Lord, we will have it down pat. At all times, it says. I'll constantly speak His praises. Now here's the deal. When we are constantly speaking His praises, He is constantly doing more to us for us to praise Him for. If we stop our praises, we stop Him from doing. Someone wrote to me today, and they were sharing a person that we don't really even know, but I've corresponded with, and this person had been healthy as could be, and then all of a sudden he wasn't healthy as could be, and now he's just tired, and he wants to go home. And this person said, well, I hate to let him go, and I know God can heal him, but I want God's will. And I just wrote to her, I said, if He has decided He wants to go home, God wants to give us the desires of our hearts. If He says, I want to go home, enjoy it. Now that sounds, you know, like, what do you mean? Well, it's a lot better than not enjoying it. Trust the Lord. If the person wants to go, who are you to say, oh, don't go? That just doesn't work. It's the same thing. God wants to give us the desires of our heart. There's nothing wrong with a person wanting to go home, and there's nothing wrong with a person agreeing with the fact that if they want to go home, then you're praying against them if you're trying to get something to happen that's not. Unless you get a word from the Lord that says, don't let them go, I've got something for them to do next week, then you tell them, just wait till next week, God's got something for you to do. Make sure it's the Lord. Those who look to Him for help, this is 34:5, will be radiant with joy. What did Levon say? Seek the Lord. That's where the joy is. Those who look to Him for help will be radiant with joy. So then that would indicate that He's going to help, right? It isn't like He's saying, if you look to Me, you'll be radiant with joy because you'll just get over it. No. You look to Him for help, you'll be radiant with joy. He's going to respond. His presence is going to come. It'll be all right. I got a feeling everything's going to be all right. And this is foolishness to those that are perishing. So if you're having a thought while you're sitting there saying, well, this is foolishness, I got news for you. You're perishing. Because your spirit within you is going, you know, that's right. It absolutely is. Your spirit within you is going, yeah, yeah, yeah. Get a hold of what the Lord says. In verse 6 it says, in my desperation I prayed to the Lord. I prayed and the Lord listened and He saved me from all my troubles. In desperation. That tells me whenever, wherever, however, and for whatever reason, call on the Lord. Of course, the encouragement is, don't wait till you're desperate. Don't wait till you think you can't stand it any longer. Don't struggle yourself. Remember, months ago, we had a message where the Lord spoke to us about don't struggle. Well, I'm happy to say that Kenneth Copeland caught up, and he wrote in his magazine this week about don't struggle. I thought, I better start sending him some ideas, because he's just starting to catch up. I'm just kidding, okay? But the thing is that, you know, we can be caught up in the enemy's trap that says, listen, you need to struggle a little. God didn't intend for everything to be easy. You better struggle, because in your suffering, your faith is perfected. So then does that mean God couldn't perfect our faith without it? Can I learn to stay up on two wheels on my motorcycle without sliding across the pavement once? Well, I'm here to tell you that is my plan. In fact, I've talked to the Lord about that. You know, some people say you need to be prepared for everything. I say, I'm prepared, but I don't want to lay this baby down. I don't want to land on the sidewalk with my motorcycle under a cement truck, James. Although if a cement truck's going to get on my motorcycle, I would prefer to be on the sidewalk wondering how I got there. Yeah, I talk to the Lord about some odd things when I'm on that thing. But it's a fact. I don't have to practice skidding to a stop. I think I'll be wise and watch the traffic around me and be always prepared. When I come to the junction over in Blount, I watch the intersections and I've gazed at the ditches to see which would be the best way to miss the trucks. I want to be prepared. The Word of God can prepare me for whatever comes on, but if I am desperate, and there's times that are desperate, there are things that come upon us. In fact, we'll just keep on with the motorcycle. I was just a tiny bit desperate for a couple of moments coming home from Pier the other day, because I was at that very same junction and I was downshifting and waiting for the traffic, and then I decided, well, I can beat this traffic. The problem was I had downshifted too far. And so I'm at about 25 miles an hour, which would be just dandy if I was like in third gear yet, or if I just had left it even in overdrive, it'll go real good. But I was in first when I popped that clutch, and now I'm leaning and I'm seeing the vehicle come in. I'm thinking, okay, recover, Roger. Give it some gas and get across in front of them. I don't want to do that again. So I want to tell you that whenever I'm downshifting now, I count. And I look at the speedometer. You see, the reason that I didn't want to have to stop is because stopping in the middle of the highway with people behind you and then turning the corner, there's a lot of things can happen. Well, I made it. But now I know something that I didn't know before. I'm not going to have to be pasted to the front of a vehicle to know what to do and what not to do. Because I'm not going to be, as in Psalm 32:9. Now we'll go back to 32:9, which says, "Do not be like a senseless horse or a mule that needs a bit and a bridle to keep it under control." Is God calling us senseless horses and mules? Well, if you think that fits, just take it on. Bray a little bit. Yee-haw! Anybody in here that has never been a yee-haw? Let the record show that this is one honest church. Not one hand went up. Everyone agrees that we've got a little donkey in us once in a while. Jenny's still trying to decide if this is church or not. What is with your dad, Jordan? Just hang in there, honey. It'll make sense eventually. Don't be that way. It's just the reason that he said that is if you go up above, it says, okay, here's what the Lord says. I will guide you along the best pathway for your life. And I'll advise you and watch over you. So don't be like a senseless horse or a mule that needs a bridle or a bit in its mouth to go where it's supposed to go. Don't be stubborn about it. Just go with the Lord's way. Because His way is the best way. But even Christians have to settle in their hearts and in their minds, God's way is best. And what God says is best. Not the things that exalt themselves against what God says. Not the things that say, well, it's got to be this way or it's got to be that way. What does the Bible say? What does God say? And what does what you have hidden in your heart, how does that line up then for the Holy Spirit when the Spirit says to you, this is the way, walk in it. Does your spirit then respond, hey, this is God's way, I'm walking this way. I said in the devotional, when I was a kid, there were some folks that had a horse and they had a Shetland pony. And we would get to go out and go riding. If you were stuck with the Shetland pony, it was not an enjoyable experience. That thing would drag you. It would bite you. It would buck you. I rode it from under its neck, holding on like this. It was just the stupidest thing. And the only reason I even agreed to do it again after that was because for the opportunity to ride the good horse. But that horse needed to be dog food. It needed to have hands laid on it and the trigger pulled. It was terrible. It was as useless as a mosquito. I'm sorry. It just was. I know. I got Sarah. Maybe you could have done something with it. You know. You want a challenge? Go buy a herd of them and train them. And we can laugh at that. If anybody's been around one, you know it. And if you haven't been around one, trust me. Okay. And we can see how silly that is. But then we look in the mirror, and all of a sudden we see we're a Shetland pony. And a bit don't help, a bridle don't help, only a hammer helps. And it only helps until they wake up again. I mean, they're just terrible. And we, of course, know that there are other Christians that are that way. We've seen some of them, haven't we? We've seen them. And we've had those very thoughts. You know, a baseball bat theology. But if they're that way, all that'll happen is they'll wake up and be the same way again. It takes a being transformed by the renewing of the mind. And we can see that, but we don't like to see it in the mirror. But Scripture has this unruly idea that when it speaks to us. It's not speaking to everybody else, it's speaking to me. And when the Lord says to me, Roger, I'll guide you along the best path for your life. I'll advise you and watch over you. Now, Roger, don't be senseless like a horse or a mule that needs a bridle and a bit to keep it under control. Anybody ever say to the Lord, Lord, make me do this right? The Lord won't make us do anything right. Well, somebody make me do it right. Well, they have jails for that. But even in jails, that doesn't make people do it right. Some people sit in jail and they get bitter, and some people sit in jail and get better. Some people sit in the prison of their life and get bitter, and some sit there and call on the Lord and get better. Because it's only the Lord that can make things better. It's only the Lord's way. That is the only way. Isn't that right, Stephen? We agreed, me, you, and Jenny, that the only way that you guys are going to do this right is if Jesus is right flat in the center. And if he ever gets off center, just get ready to feel that bit. If the Lord builds a house, it's a good house. If it's built on sand, it's not a good house. We got a river of life flowing out of us. Sometimes natural rivers flow over us. It's interesting that the very thing, that very river that is overflowing and causing people grief, is the very river that people suck the water out of to get a harvest. There's life even in the worst places. There's an opportunity for life. There's an opportunity for restoration. It's super. Restore. It's nothing for God to help. It's not a problem for God. If you can believe, all things are possible to them that believe. So don't be like a senseless horse or a mule. Don't require that things of life drag you around until you're desperate and then you call upon the Lord. Let him who has ears to hear, hear. Today, if you hear my voice, harden not your heart. When the Lord speaks, say, yes, Lord. When we leave here today and something's going on in your life and you hear the Holy Spirit say, is that a bit I see in your mouth? You can transform your thinking and say, well, I don't need a bit. I'll just praise the Lord. I'll just begin to praise the Lord. I don't know what else to do. I think I'll just praise the Lord. That's a good thing. You've just chosen the best thing according to the Word of God. Back to Psalm 34. God answers. It's just as simple as that. God does answer. God's not confusing. God knows what He's doing. And we can rest in that. Not begin to say, well, I just don't know why God's not answering my prayer. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says He has answered it. So then we should agree with Him, right? Or should we jerk at the bridle a little bit? Stomp our foot a little bit? Bite somebody a little bit? There are some things that I need to change, that I would like the Lord to change in me, but He won't do it. But He does throw little tidbits at me to remind me, if it ain't happening, maybe it's because I'm pulling against the bit. Maybe I'm jerking on the reins. Maybe I'm being like a senseless horse or a mule. I mean, hey, you hear people say, well, God must not have minded because He didn't stop me. One of my guys in jail checked to see if he could rob a place, laid a knife on the counter, said, what would you do if I asked you for money? The person said, I wouldn't give you any money. He just put the knife back in his pocket. But they still called the police. But you see, I know enough of his story to know that that was a vast improvement in his life. That at another time and season, he would have done something with the knife. But this time, he didn't feel right about putting the knife there in the first place. And it began to occur to him that his grandmother, who'd been praying for him all this time, it wouldn't be the right thing to do. So he's in jail. We're praying that the Lord will give him favor and that the Lord will speak to the judge and that the judge will say, you know what? This guy's been in jail since he was 14 years old. He'd been out for 4 months. He was desperate. He had applied for like 30 jobs. He knew when he walked in to apply that they took a look at him and all of his tattoos and everything. He could tell by the way they looked at him that he wasn't going to get hired, but he kept applying. He went and he stood at the day labor places waiting for somebody, hoping somebody would hire him, until he became desperate, and then he became concerned for his grandmother, and he decided he was just going to try something that he knew better than to do. But God's transforming his life. But even in his transformation, he's saying, how do I do this? I know I should be studying more. I said, then study more. I know I should be praying more, but man, these guys get on my nerves. But he's not getting in any fights. What an improvement! And the more he submits himself to God's way, the more peace that he has. But there's a war going on. There's a battle that goes on for his life. There's a battle that trying to convince him to get back. I mean, the devil works in the strangest ways. I walked in the last time for church and here he came. He had hair the last time that I had seen him, and some of his tattoos were gone because the hair covered him and stuff. And he walked in and now his head was shaved again and shiny. I said, whoa, what happened? And I thought, yikes. He's getting himself geared up to go back to prison and he needs to look the gangster man in order to do well there. He said, nah, he said the barber messed up. He was supposed to trim my hair and he gave me a mohawk. So he shaved his head again. But then I went and saw him on whatever day I went later in the week and his hair was coming back. I said, hey, your hair is coming back. You know, I was like, yeah, it'll grow back. If we will take the Lord's advice, me, if I will take the Lord's advice, then I will be a river of life. Because I'll be like a tree planted by the water. And I will not be moved off the Word of God. And if I refuse to be moved off the Word of God, then the Word of God will always be operating for me, moving forward in my life. Whether it's a little bitty thing or a great big thing, nothing can stop the Word of God. But if we aren't convinced of it, if I as a Christian am not convinced of it, if I who love the Lord am not convinced of it, if I can't convey by my life and by my words that I'm convinced of it, why should anybody else want it? It's because we fail. Not putting condemnation on us, but I'm saying it's because we fail that people get caught up in things that are cultish. Because they have some sort of a guarantee in them, you know? When Vicki and I were over sandbagging, some guys came in and they had their name tags on. Elder so-and-so, and elder so-and-so, and elder so-and-so. They showed up. They worked for a while. One picked up a phone and said, we got to go. But they wanted everybody to know that they were so-and-so. We were 7 hours into it when somebody said, what do you do? I said, I'm a pastor. I think they were beginning to think, okay, what have we been talking about? Hey, I talk about Jesus. They can talk about whoever they want to. But on a good note, my buddy John said that his son said, man, he works hard, especially for a preacher. I forgot my name tag, you know? I just forgot my name tag. Wasn't passing out cards. But if we can convey the joy of the Lord, if we can show the Word of God, if we can show the manifestation of the presence of God, if we can speak it with confidence, if we will go out of here, and if nothing else, just remember, if somebody says they got a cancer diagnosis, you can come, oh, we believe that cancer is disappearing. Would you like me to pray for you? You don't have to have confidence in you to do that. You just have to have confidence in God. Can God? It isn't you or me that can do it anyway, but God can, can't He? So we can convey God's message, can't we? We can just convey to people, nothing's impossible for God. Now, if that is deep inside of us, and if we are tremendously confident in it, then that confidence is going to pass on to the next person. Something good's going to happen. You know, with all of this sandbagging that's going on and things, I mean, there's a lot of sandbagging going on. And a lot of people doing it, and a lot of people that are saying, you know, this may be an effort in futility, but everybody just keeps doing it. And for some it may be. Some may have put in a tremendous amount of effort, and it looks like it didn't do any good, but who knows what good was done? Who knows what the Lord can make out of it? Who knows whose heart was touched? Who knows the whole counsel of God? Not me. I don't. When I was mowing this last week and the Hutterites pulled up and I've got my headphones in and they wanted to sell me chickens. What are you listening to? I said, I'm listening to the Word of God. I'm listening to some preachers. Well, what? You're a pastor. You know it all. I said, oh, buddy, I need to preach to you if you think you know it all. Because I don't know it all. And the more that I know, the more that I know that I don't know at all. In fact, the more that I know, the more that I know there's a lot more to know than I already know. There's so much to God. It just doesn't stop. It is a river of life. It's crazy, man. It's a blast. There's no high like the Most High. There's nothing like God. Visiting with another one of my prisoners, and he's ministering to other prisoners. That's quite a transformation in a person's life. And he thinks that's pretty much what his life is supposed to be. Helping others find what he's found. That's a Christian, isn't it? Help others find what you found. And he was talking to this guy that he's ministering to, and this guy that he's ministering to had visited with me, and he went back and he told him, he said, man, he's happy. He said, I'd like to be happy. Hello? Jesus makes me glad. Joy. Where the presence of the Lord is, there is pleasure forevermore. Is that true, or is that just something in the Bible? It's both. It's something in the Bible, but it's true. To him who believes, it's true. If we believe that it is in Him that we live and move and have our being, if we believe that all things, all good and perfect gifts come from God, if we believe that nothing is impossible for God, we got life. And we got an answer. I heard the rumor this week that my daughter-in-law says that we just live in a bubble and nothing seems to bother us. And to that, Shiloh quickly responded, you could have that bubble. I do. I wouldn't say nothing ever bothers me, but nothing bothers me for long because I'm a big baby and I'm lazy. I'd rather have God carry it. I just can't carry it. I can shovel sand for a long, long time, even for an older person. But I can't carry a burden for more than about 5 feet. They're just, I'm sorry. I wasn't built for carrying burdens. Jesus said, take my yoke. Because my yoke is easy and my burden is light. That's what we were built for. We were built to be yoked up with Jesus and He carries all the weight. Can you live with that? Can you live without that? No, you can't. And see, we need to live like we can't live without God. And because we can't live without God, then we know we are with God. And with God, all things are possible. It's a matter of being led, just following. You know, it's amazing if you see a good horse, not a Shetland pony, and people that have trained them so well, and you see them with a gesture, or with a nudge, or with a whisper. You see them, you watch those performing horses that'll be going along, and all of a sudden they'll go into a dance and they're prancing, you know, you just go, wow. That's amazing. That's, somebody has really put something, effort into that, and it's been worth the effort. Folks, God has put a lot of effort into us. He has put a lot of effort into us. And there's nothing that is worth disappointing God. We need to throw off the bridle and throw off the bit and just say, where He leads, I will follow. I'm just following Jesus. He's come that I might have life, and bless God, I got life. He said, I will. Listen. The Lord says, I will guide you along the best pathway for your life. Do we believe that? I'll guide you along the best pathway for your life. You know, sometimes people are on the best pathway for their life and they get the idea that there's a different pathway that's a better pathway rather than just saying, God, guide me along this pathway. And if this isn't the pathway, fine. He won't confuse us. He speaks clearly. I'll guide you. I'll advise you. And I'll watch over you. He doesn't just tell you something. He watches over you. He watches over His word to perform it. He doesn't just say, here's some good advice and I'll go do it on your own. No, no. He does it and then He follows you along to make sure it's okay. When I taught my kids to ride their bicycles, I would say, you just pedal. I'll hold on to the seat. And I would be with them and with them. I put on a lot of miles holding on to a seat. But there came a time when I would let go of the seat. And I would still be watching them. And I would still be saying, you can do it. And when they would turn around, and of course turning around on a bicycle is dangerous when you don't know how to ride a bicycle yet. And poof, off you go. Now Jordan, he got on the bicycle and he might have tipped over a couple times, but he was just a little guy riding a bicycle in a hurry. Just, he was just gone, but I was still watching over him. Still watching him. Different people learn different ways. Learn more quickly, learn more slowly. Well, God's patient as long as we're learning. As long as we'll keep pedaling. As long as we're not resisting. As long as we're not denying. As long as we're keep saying, and if we need to say, Lord, help my unbelief. But I'm going to do it. I'm going to keep with it. I'm going to stick with it. You won't need a bridle. I won't need a bridle or a bit. I'm just going to follow you because I've decided you are the only way. It's only you, Lord. Thank God yesterday is gone. Aren't you glad yesterday is gone? And today is here. And today we can follow the Lord willingly. And tomorrow we can follow the Lord willingly. And each day that's what we do. We just get ready to follow for that day because we don't know what's coming tomorrow. But today, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. You don't serve Hosanna. You don't serve any person. You serve the Lord. And when the Lord is on the throne, the kingdom is great. Amen. Amen. Father, in Jesus' name, we declare, I will not be like a senseless horse or a mule. Say that. I will not be like a senseless horse or a mule. I don't need a bit. I don't need a bridle to keep me under control. I present myself to you. Transform me by renewing my mind. In Jesus' name, everybody said, bless the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God.